And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. Okie dokie. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul emphasizes how God delivered his laws through angels to Moses, who then became a mediator between God and people. It is essential to note that while Moses served as a mediator, he was not an eternal one. Next, this raises the question of whether there's a conflict or a contradiction between the Old and New Testaments. We're going to get into that. However, the scripture clarifies there's no conflicts. Instead, it reveals that we are prisoners of sin, and law's power exposes our need for something more to progress spiritually in God. Wow. Did you get that? The law exposes to us, the law's power exposes in us our need for something more in order to spiritually progress in God. And finally, before Jesus' coming, the law played the role of a tutor or a guardian, acting as a form of protective custody, making us keenly aware that our deliverance was imminent. Paul concludes by emphasizing that the law guided us towards Christ. It pointed us to Jesus. Through faith in Jesus, we find righteousness and reconciliation with God. To be right with God, we must have faith in Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. Kind of like Jerry Lewis right there. You know, it's got that little Jerry Lewis thing. Oy vey! So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call, let me just say this, and you end up talking to the great and the legendary Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Dynamite! All right, now this one's modified a little bit. Talking to Dynamite D is like hearing a hymn, an old hymn that still touches your heart.
Very refreshing, Dave.
Oh, wow. See, like an old hymn, right? It's like, good for the soul. Oh, some of those are so... I love how they've taken some of the old hymns. They've kept them. They've just changed some of the musical arrangements, but they kept all the words. I love that. I think it's really cool. Anyway, here's the bottom line. You can, if you've got a prayer request, great time to call. And the reason is we'll take our faith, and we're going to go to prayer in just a second. We'll take our faith. We'll combine it together. Dynamite D, my faith, there's two. And then everybody else who's listening to the audience, there's however many that are listening to the audience, probably more than two. And then we've got it all going together, and we take our faith, and we bring it before the Lord in high expectation and high faith, but with honor, with reverence, with appreciation, and with surrender and submission. And we ask him, help, because you know what? That's what we need, the help of God. Maybe you've got something going on, and it's just phenomenal. Just like the Lord, he's been so good to me. I just want to share this one thing that's going on. And you might not even understand it all. I've had that happen many times. And the idea behind that is, so share it. If it's something that's a blessing. Or maybe you just got something on your heart and mind. It's like every once in a while people call in and just share something that's really on their mind or on their hearts for the purpose of encouraging or strengthening others. We love it. Maybe you've got an answer to a trivia question. I feel in my heart that many of you will, so I'm going to fire off on this question, see how you guys do. In Revelation, Jesus said he had the keys in his hands. Were the keys for love and peace, death and hell, or hope and life? Ooh. So Jesus said, I got the keys. You know what a key does, right? It opens the door. The keys, are they for love and peace, death and hell, or Hades, or hope and life? What are the keys for that Jesus said he had in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay, so the question, here it is. What are the keys that Jesus said he had in his hands? We're talking about Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Were they love and peace, death and Hades, or hope and life? What are the keys that Jesus held in his hands? Okay, now as you guys know, I ask you on a pretty regular basis to be praying for many, many things. Very important. Please be praying for Don, who's I just would never have his ministry. You think my ministry's hard? Hilarious. I just want to point that out. Be praying for Don. Be praying for Jennifer, because she has to get quite a bit coordinated. And without Jennifer, there is no station. Let's put it that way. And then pray for Dynamite D, who also goes under attack, just like I do. He gets attacked a lot spiritually, and he's got a very soft heart for all of you and loves you guys and mentions that to me. He won't say it to you the same way I'm saying it to you, but he loves you guys. He hurts for you. And he even mentioned me today. I'm just going to say it real quickly. He mentioned to me today how he knows there are some people that are hurting, and he just feels that heaviness for them. It's like he doesn't always share that stuff on the air. But see, that's the kind of person you want praying for you and so on and so forth. So here's what we're going to do. Can that person hold? Is that possible? Or are we just kind of like not?
I think they need to be in this prayer.
Oh, then we'll just do that. We'll have them come on. We'll answer, and then we'll pray for everybody. How about that? Let's do that. Okay, knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
Okay. All right.
Oh, what a blessing that you called. People have been – I just mentioned to Don how we've been praying for you and your family and just the whole situation. He was really touched by it and just want you to know how much we love you, man, how much we're praying for you.
I know you do.
And we're praying for you and the family.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm going to have you answer the trivia question, and then we'll get into it and pray, okay? Because you got to answer trivia, because what can we do without trivia? Are the keys that Jesus had in his hand? Was it love and peace, death and Hades, or hope and life?
Death and Hades.
That is correct! I'm going to know! What's amazing is who's really ultimately in charge? Jesus. Who's in charge? Jesus. Who's in charge? Jesus. Okay, he's in charge. We'll leave that there. Okay. The enemy does not own anything. He's just at this point a flunky, so not a lot going on. So let everybody know just your overall, because I'm going to pray for you. I got some friends I need to pray for and people that just have heavy hearts. And this is just, I'm telling you, Dynamite, before the show started, he's like, yeah, I just feel that burden for people that have heavy hearts right now. And then you call and it's just like, okay, the Lord is coordinating this. So and I love that. So tell me, how are you overall?
Well, I say overall, okay. I've it helps to go to work. And, you know, get my mind on those things there. But every now and then, you know, I'll have a time where it'll, you know, I'll have thoughts about Nola. And, you know, we don't know when I think probably September will be when we do something, I think, because they've gotten back from Memphis to Tampa, and they are getting settled in and all, and some dear friend, a couple of guys came over and helped them unpack all the furniture out of the trailer and everything like that. So it's nice to have people that will help you, you know.
Yeah.
And then Mandy actually sent, my daughter-in-law sent, I was out in a boat. You could tell kind of on the picture of filming, and she was releasing balloons over the water. You could just see the balloons sail up, you know, over the water. And she said, I love you, baby girl, you know, I miss you, and all like that. So it was, so that kind of gave me an idea that, well, maybe she's doing better, you
right.
know. And so, you know, it just seems unreal to some extent. And you know, because one of the times that she was going to one of the hospitals before St. Jude's, they have these warm air, not balloons, but sort of paper things that you light a candle in, and it takes it up to the sky,
right.
the hot air,
yep.
I guess, like a hot air balloon.
Yep.
And she wrote a little message on it and said, I love you so much, God. Please help me. And I thought, oh, wow. And that was before she got to St. Jude's in last November. And so, you know, it's just, you know, it's part of our life. I never thought we'd have, but
you know,
it's there.
You know, what's amazing, though, is there's a couple of things. And first of all, thank you for sharing, because that takes a lot to do. So I know that it doesn't seem like it takes a lot, but it does. And it's really helpful, because you got people that are praying for you, and they're listening to you, and they know they're kind of following this process with you, going, wow, that's even heavier. And then you think about it. Now, from Nola's point of view, I'm just jealous, because she's doing better than I'm doing, and I'm not going to comment on that. It's just like Pastor Ray. It's like, that just really irritates me, because I still have to stay here. Okay, but in lieu of everybody else, the ministry is towards everybody else. And we want you to know, as your brothers and sisters, that we love you, and that we love your wife and your kids that have gone through this. It's tough. It's devastating. We hate it, but the Lord allowed it. We yield to it. We trust him for it, and we're asking things to come out of it that will glorify his name at a minimum, that everybody will draw closer and not more bitter, but more better. Into the Lord, and that's really what we're hoping for. And even Nola would say that would be the greatest thing, is that people would got better and not bitter, right?
Right. Yeah. She's with him, and so her spirit's with him. You know. So I just waiting to hear from my son to see, you know, whether when we make a trip out there and what the occasion is in Tampa area. So we're just kind of in limbo about that. We don't hate to keep calling him and finding out,
right.
but
yeah.
you know, I don't know. I'm really glad to call him, you know, and just say, hey, or text him, you know, something. Let us know something, you know.
Yeah, and not knowing is hard, because you're like, hey, I need to have something. I need to have some pointers, and so hopefully that we're going to pray and just ask the Lord to help people bring it to a right closure and things of that nature. And I'm also going to be praying for my friend Rob and Cindy. They're I've mentioned them before, but the reason I put you together is because my heart is heavy for them too, and for everybody else. So just join us in prayer for a second, please.
Okay, yes.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now, and first and foremost, we thank you. First, we thank you. Hallowed be your name. You are awesome. And Lord, we don't understand everything that you do or that you allow, and I wish we did, but we're not that smart, Lord. But then you have moments like this where John calls in, and him just calling in has just put something in my own spirit that just gives me this love for him and love for the brothers and sisters and for every one of us who's hearing this, just knowing what he's going through and wanting to be there, wanting to do whatever we can to support. We just want him to know that support that's behind him. Know that for him and for his wife and for their kids. And so the first prayer, Lord, that we're just going to make is, Lord, give some closure, some proper closure to the situation, so that John doesn't just have to feel like it's all in limbo, because that's really hard. That's just super uncomfortable. And Lord, we're just asking you to give it some specifics so he can tag to that. And Lord, he's finding some relief and getting back to certain routines. He's not going to forget, Lord, but comfort his heart.
comfort his wife's heart, comfort the parents' hearts, so that they can have that sense that there is no abandonment here, that there is faithfulness, and that they can rely on you. And we are asking for the comfort that comes from you, because, Lord, it can't be us other than that overall support. You can give that inward support. And just have them have a sense of peace about where things are and where things are heading. We ask you to bless them. And Lord, there's people in our audience they're just crying out, they're hurting. They're in tons of pain. And we're just asking you to be the one that brings the healing balm for them. And I lift up Rob and Cindy, who are friends of mine, who are doing ministry. Now they're getting attacked and everything's coming against them. It's just like, Lord, there's a lot of warfare, but there is nothing that's going to be compared to the glory we're going to enter into. And help us to keep that as our primary focus. Our names are written in the book of life. And we look forward to meeting Nola there. We look forward to meeting everybody in this whole radio audience there and enjoying each other. And let your blessings reign supreme. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I pray for everybody else.
Amen, brother. Well, you keep us posted. We're going to keep praying for you. Nobody's going to stop praying for you. I'm just saying.
Thanks.
So, I mean, that's not going to happen. If you need something, you let us know. In the meantime, we'll keep praying, keep seeking, keep pushing, and keep loving on you the best we can. Okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. Bye-bye. God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. There's not much I can add to that. That's better than... Just John sharing was so cool, right? Boy, you were right on that one, boy.
Yeah.
He needs to be in that prayer. Yeah,
yeah, and I'm glad he called, too, because we're always encouraged by him calling, even before this happened. But, we're just praying for him, and he's in our spirit always.
Yeah. Now, I will say, just because I didn't just got this in, but because you were talking about Dr. Jesse and wanting to pray for him. So he just said that his brother, Chad, he's still missing. So be in prayer for Chad, his brother. So, Lord, let Chad kind of pop up so that brother Dr. Jesse's not hurting in that as well. Lord, people are hurting. And we need your grace and mercy just to keep going, even in our own family and our close people and people that are distant from us, Lord. But you've brought us all into each other's universe. And so, Lord, we want to be like the Good Samaritan. We want to take care of them, heal their wounds, cover whatever we can. Help us to be that exact type of follower that, Lord Jesus, you illustrated in your word. Help us to do a bit better, Lord. And help us to have good, soft hearts that love you and respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the Internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
with his special guest today, Focus on the Family trauma specialist, Tim Sanford.
People, as they try to sort this out, they go through this they go through maybe a litany or a list in their mind and try to evaluate, well, you know, is this this and is this this, and what you said right there is the key, that the core of our strength, the core of our ability to go on yet for another day in the midst of what we would consider to be chaos, both socially, politically, and in other realms, is the Lord. I mean, the Lord gives us the ability. I mean, until he blows that trumpet, we are not done.
Exactly. And that's where we come back to, people ask me, well, again, the why questions that people all across the U.S. are asking. And my best theological accurate answer I can give them is, I don't know. I don't stop there. That is an accurate answer. I finish my answer then by saying, here's what I do know.
Excellent.
I know that God is still on his throne. I know that God knew what was going on. I don't know why that. Here's what I do know. God is still a loving God. He still is in charge. Here's what I do know. Here's what I do know. Here's what I do know.
The David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. And I love a show that's just got all of it, right? So we do the laugh and we do the crying. It's just like, that is life, right? I mean, that is, you know, that is really what that is. So awesome of John to call in. I mean, it's just awesome to hear from people and then just know where people are and all the texts I'm getting, and just keep praying for, don't stop.
And like I said during the break, Dave, and it's not to brag on us because it's God, but that's what makes us unique. It's that family nature of the show. Like, we're literally trying to carry one another's burdens, even if it's just praying for someone or thinking about them. I think that matters to God.
I think that's why we push on people getting in touch with us. I think that's the real reason why, is because it really does. It does help us all connect. Well, I think it helps us connect. Anyway, all right. Okay, let's see. I don't know. This is a really tough one, so I don't know if I want to do this one, because I don't know if you guys are all ready for this really tough one. It's a really, really tough one. Okay, I mean, you ready?
I'm ready, Dave.
All right. It's a tough one, okay? All right. All right. How many days did the children of Israel mourn Moses? How many days did they mourn Moses? Is it 30, 0, because they had a party, or 475 days? Is it 30, 0, or 475 days that they mourned Moses?
That seemed like a little bit of a trick question for some reason.
I can't really answer that one. Zero, they were happy he died. I would probably toss that one, but I'm just going to say zero, they were happy he died. That is so mean. That's mean. I shouldn't even have said that, although it was kind of funny. Somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Okay, let's send him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
Hi, Gary. I'm so glad you called, because I was thinking, I want to pray for Gary. I mean, that's just hilarious that you did that. I just love it. But this is a great question. I'm going to give you a chance to answer it. Then I'm going to pray for you. But I strongly believe in my heart you're going to know this without me going through all of it. So let me just say it.
It was 30 days.
I knew he was going to do it. That's right. I don't know where 475 and zero, because they were happy he died. Yeah, that didn't happen. This is like, come on. It's like, wow. 30 days is correct, which tells you something, because in tradition or in culture, some mourning goes on for, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks, and then some weddings go on for weeks and weeks and weeks. So we have everything set up like, you know, Friday night here, Saturday night here. That was unknown of. I mean, nobody even – but now we're all time efficient. So it doesn't – that's all we have to spare. All right. How are you feeling, my friend? How are things going in?
Well, I'm going to keep praying. I just keep praying. And
well, that's why I love it when you call, because we're not going to quit. That's exactly it. So let's bring it to the Lord in prayer. Let's do it right now.
Father, we lift up our dear brother Gary to you, and we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you would bring your healing power into his body. He doesn't have anything else he can go to. He needs your help, and we need you to help him. Because we love him and we want him to be well. We want him to have testimonies that say, I'm doing better. We want that. We want him to have a testimony that says, I'm healed. We want that, but you must do it. We offer our faith to you. We ask you in the name of Jesus that you would bring healing power into Gary's body and he would know it and he would declare it. And we ask it for your glory. And that we could rejoice together as a family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, and God bless you, and I'm going to continue to pray for all of you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So as it stands now, we'll probably skip the 30 break. Is that possible to do? Because I just don't see us getting through this, okay? Because there's like five things we got to do. First, we have to do DNA.
I almost forgot that.
No, I got this stuff all laid out. We're doing, people are like, why do you always do DNA? It's the same thing. Because we need it.
Necessity.
I don't know. Why do you breathe oxygen? Oh, okay. Those two. Put those together. How about that? D. Okay, so DNA, it all came about from how do we function each and every day. You hear news, you hear this, you hear all this stuff going on. Your brain's like, oh, you know, they got this new thing coming up. There's going to be a new, you know, vaccine, do this, do that. Everything's coming. Here, how do you handle it all? Here's how you handle it all. Ready? D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Just spend time with the Lord. That doesn't matter. I mean, just do it. Okay? I don't do this a lot, but I have done it where I spend some time reading the word and then I end up taking a nap and then I get up and I pray and then it's okay. The Lord's not going, oh no, he took a nap. You know, it's like, come on, that's not how this goes. Okay? Spend time with the Lord daily and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. It is all that the world is going to, they're just absolutely, it's going to get so much worse. You just stand firm in the word. And to stand firm in the word, you need to know the word. Okay, so never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, okay? And God created the universe. The dude can write a book, okay? And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means at any point, at any day, the Lord may use you at any hour to do something for his kingdom and for his glory, and you want to be available. You want to be present to be available in the Lord so that you can be a blessing to others. Maybe you're there to laugh with somebody or like with John Klingon, maybe you're there to cry with somebody. But you're just available to do it, okay? That's our DNA. That's number one, okay? Number two, I'm going to get to the teachings. Everybody, hold on. I know you're just all anxious for it. Tomorrow we're going to do our first trivia question. Our first trivia question for the tickets. So the trivia question will be on the show. So if you are interested, when we do this, I'm not announcing when it's going to happen. Sometime in the last 60 minutes, we're going to be talking about a trivia question about the show. If you are interested in getting free tickets to the SMU football with parking, okay, you have to have a phone that we can text you the information. That's the requirement. Plus, you will have to answer the question. It will not be a complex question. It'll be a very simple question. Like, who do you make the check out to if you write a check to the ministry? Which I can tell you ahead of time will be the first question. Anyhow.
I like that question.
That's a good one to start with. It's going to be A&M Panthers versus SMU Mustangs on September 16th. We're going to do that tomorrow. Get ready for that. Okay, great. Now, back into the show, this thing that we do in the show called teaching. Yes, we do. We do it most of the time anyway. Galatians chapter 4. Don't say, oh, no, this has been fun. Let's keep, no, you got to do it all. We do it all. It's all the, you know, we're like a buffet, but we just tell you what's out initially to eat. This is Galatians chapter 4. We'll pick it up from verse 19. But the big key in this, and one of the coolest things, I mean totally one of the coolest things in Galatians, could be this little portion right here, which is really fascinating. Galatians, I'm sorry, 3:19. Did I say 4:19?
You said 4, Dave.
Oh, my goodness. You see what happens? Do you guys see what's happening? Yeah, but it's just like, how is that not age? All right. Anyway. 319. Sorry. It says this. Well, then, why was the law given? It was given to show people how guilty they are. We talked about this last week. But this system of law was to last only until the coming of the child to whom God's promise was made. Here's the big pickup. And there is the further difference. And there is this further difference. God gave his laws to angels to give to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Now, a mediator is needed if two people enter into agreement, but God acted on his own when he made his promises to Abraham. It's very important to understand this. If you miss this, you're going to miss the big theological crunch of Galatians. Besides the basic that we are not supposed to take over our salvation process, besides the basic that is saying you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart by faith and the Holy Spirit took up residency in you, and now you live under the understanding that your sins were paid for by the precious blood of Jesus, Ephesians 1:7, and by the blood shed on the cross, Colossians 1:20. And what Paul does is says, hey, I want to make sure you understand how important this is. He says, look, he says, the first covenant was given to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. So I just want to make sure you understand, a mediator, you don't have to be brilliant about that. What's a mediator? That's the person that mediates between the two parties. You guys know what that is. You don't got to explain it in depth. No. But what you have to understand is this. Moses was the mediator, right? But Moses was not eternal when he did the mediation. Uh-oh, wait, what? The law was not based on mediation from eternity's point of view. It was given while Moses was on earth. Yes, Moses is in heaven. We know that from the transfiguration. Yes, we know that you will know one another because at the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter knew who Elijah was and Peter knew who Moses was. So that's like fascinating, right? But Moses' covenant was not eternal. And why that's significant is because the other covenant based on Jesus is eternal. Your agreement with God in your faith is not a one and done where you don't believe it anymore. You continually believe it, and that covenant will never end. God is not going to change. I know there's theology say, well, this covenant will come in place. Okay. The covenant we have with God through Jesus Christ is based on forever. You will never have it go any other way. And then Paul makes this argument. And this is the Holy Spirit leading him to do this. It says, now the mediator is needed if two people enter into an agreement. But God acted on his own when he made the promise to Abraham. It's like, well, what does that mean? What do you mean, but he entered on his own? When you and I get into a mediation process and then there's somebody in between us, we all do our best to make it work and hopefully it works out and people don't freak out. When we're doing this between us and God, we always fall short. So Jesus, becoming one of us, was able to pick up our slack, do the human side of things with the divine side of things to make the covenant irrevocable and never changeable. In other words, Jesus took up our position. Listen to this. In order for us to be in an agreement or in a relationship with God that will never fail and never fall, you will never, ever, ever lose your relationship with the Lord if you stand fast in your simple faith, because it enacts Jesus' sacrifice on your behalf. And you think, that's all basic gospel. Yep. And the gospel saves you, and in 1 Corinthians 15:2-3, keeps you.
You don't just get saved and it's like, now I'm saved. Now I'm going to become a grown up in the sense that now I'm going to take over for the Lord. This is the entire epistle. It's like, no, you can't miss this. What's important to God is that you understand he's made this commitment and took your side of the commitment through Jesus Christ to make sure it would actually happen. Here's another thing that will just go into little theological nuggets. Just listen. Remember, in the New Covenant, in Jeremiah 31 referenced, that the New Covenant, God will write his laws in your heart, in their hearts and in their minds. Do you know how the law is written in your heart and in your mind now? It's because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And do you know why the Holy Spirit lives inside of you? Because Jesus enabled the covenant to be birthed. Because of Jesus and because of his redeeming work, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. And because the Holy Spirit lives inside you, the laws of God are written on your heart and on your mind. And because of that, you know you're in the new covenant that lasts forever, which is why you know past just your conscience when the Holy Spirit chastises you, or says, you're not doing what God wants. Not just your conscience, but the Holy Spirit is like, nope. Or when the Holy Spirit says, go this way, or any of those things. That's evidence that you are in the new covenant. The reason we're not supposed to grieve the Holy Spirit, the reason we're not supposed to quench the Holy Spirit, is because you're just quenching your own assurance of your own faith. It's like you're setting yourself up to the devil goes, you're not saved! Like, why would you? What? Don't do that. The Lord loves you so much that he wouldn't leave your part to you. How's that? Is that a good way to say it? Let me say it this way, okay? I'm going to say it in a really awkward way, but I think you guys will get this. I've been to several places, okay, like different vacationing kind of places when I was doing investments and so on and so forth, right? If my son said, hey, Dad, I'm going to such and such place, and we've never been there before, and I'm going to do this and this and this and this, and I knew it was really just something that was a little bit like past him, I would say, Josh, I'm gonna book it all for you. I'm gonna set the whole thing up for you. I'm gonna coordinate the whole thing for you, and then you can just, you know, like pay me back, whatever. But I mean, I'm gonna do it for you because I know what's really gotta happen, and you don't. you see that dumb illustration? Yes, but that's kind of good in the sense that we don't know all the things that need to be covered, but the Lord does. And he covers it for us. And what I want you to get is that is because he loves you, and that is because of his grace, and that is because of Jesus Christ, and that is because it's a covenant that lasts forever. And he doesn't just do it the one time. In other words, your entire life is put into this system, this process. He doesn't just love you a little bit now that he loves you, and now you're starting to mess up. Well, he loves you a little less now, and now it's a little just like, no. He set the whole thing up so that this agreement, this covenant, this situation with God is eternal, and it never ends, and it will never end because we have expressed faith in Jesus Christ, in the witness that God has given, and he has given this to us through grace, and we have received it by faith, and we walk by faith and not by sight. It's like, okay. So this salvation thing's maybe a little deeper than we might think it is. It's judicial and it's done. But like we said, what we said yesterday, now when you're messing up, you really don't have to go to the judge anymore. Now you go to your papa, your heavenly father. That's how strong the covenant is. So listen to what he says. He says, there is a further difference. God gave his laws to angels to give to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Mediators needed if two people entered into agreement, but God acted on his own when he made his promise to Abraham. Well, then, is there a conflict between God's law and God's promises? No. In other words, God made this promise to Abraham, then God made this law through Moses. The covenant you and I are in is the fulfillment of the covenant to Abraham. So before you think that you're not a part of that, do you think God can fulfill his covenant to Abraham? Because you're a part of that fulfillment. You're a recipient of that fulfillment. And what I want you to understand is you're an heir of that, like H-E-I-R, of that fulfillment. And so even though the law only came to point something out, and that is we're prisoners to sin, and we need something more to progress in God. What do we need? We need a covenant of grace and truth, which is what the New Testament is. That's why it's a new covenant. That's why it's a new covenant made in the blood. This is my blood of the new covenant. And so that's why the Lord processed us through this system so that we would get it and stop trying to earn it or think we deserve it. Now, everything we do simply because we want to please Him, not to prove that we are worthy of this salvation in this context. You'll never be truly worthy. It's a gift. Receive it. Some of you out there, and you've been, let me just say this. I've got to say this. I know this is the Lord. You have just been bound up between works and faith. You're just like stuck. Just like, I know they're supposed to go together, but then I always look at the end result of works and da, da, da. Listen. If you have genuine faith, you will have works that will be produced from that. That's what James was talking about, okay? But if you look to yourself to do the salvation in your strength, you're assuming that God can't complete what He started. And you're wrong. Not only has He completed it for you, this part of the salvation is Him just making you look like what He's already pronounced and completed. Stop fighting to prove yourself justified. Start accepting that God has justified you. Stop trying to prove it. Start accepting it. You're the same people that believe you were forgiven, but now that you're saved, you think you need to earn the next levels of forgiveness. No, you don't. He forgives you, every ounce of you, every piece of you. He knew every sin you would ever commit, and He still chose you. Stop trying to earn forgiveness. Stop trying to earn your salvation. Stop trying to deserve the grace of God. Receive it and say thank you. And spend more time in praise and appreciation. That's what the Lord wants. Okay, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. right here on KAAM.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
Bottom line is what I'm about to share with you does not mean that churches are bad. There are a multitude of great churches. Jesus had an address to seven churches in the book of Revelation, right? Multiple of those churches were excellent. Everybody had something they can improve on, change, grow in. Only two of those churches were super, super bad. The idea behind that is never take what I'm about to share is how the church is at large. This is no indictment on the church of God, the bride of Christ. Never, never, never think of the church that way. The Lord God Almighty loves the church. If you don't love what God loves, if you don't love who God loves, that's a whole separate issue that you have to deal with. You understand that?
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is
oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. So I know that last segment was kind of heavy. So like, people are like, well, I wanted the cheery stuff. I know, but see, some people need that. You see what I'm saying? It's like, here's the deal, okay? I mean, here it is. Some things we all need, okay? And then some people need, like, to be encouraged in faith. Some people need to be encouraged in hope. Some people need to be encouraged in love. Some people need to be encouraged in, you know, spending time with the Lord. Some people need to hear the basics of salvation again because they stepped into it but then stepped out of it. That's what we do.
I mean, well said, Dave.
I mean, that you can't say that any. I mean, that's what we're doing. And those are the very people. And you know, I'm talking to you the way I was talking to you, and then I'm kind of sharing that. That's when you're praying for people. You're saying, Lord, those people that are going through that. That's how you should be praying. Right? All right. You can just tell. Noel goes, you're not setting up for 2 hours, are you? I said, okay, I'm just going to keep on moving now. Trivia question. Why did Moses flee out of Egypt? Why did Moses flee out of Egypt? Number one, because he owed a boatload of money. Number two, he committed murder by getting involved in ministry too quickly. Or number three, he was just really not wanting to work anymore and went on strike. Come on, Anthony. You just not wanting to work anymore. And so he went on strike. I'm leaving.
You know, he probably felt like that down the line sometimes.
Well, I would think many people kind of go through that. Why did Moses flee from Egypt? He just owed a boatload of money. He murdered somebody and went into ministry early. And therefore murdered somebody by that process. Or he just revolted and decided, I don't want to work anymore. I'm out of here. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We do have somebody that is ready to answer the trivia question. That is Brave. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, you're talking to Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Okay, how's your phone doing?
Much better, thank you.
See, that's the kind of relationship we have. Is your phone okay? We're making sure. All right, here we go. Why did Moses flee Egypt? Because he owed a boatload of money. He murdered somebody, been getting involved in ministry early, or he just revolted and didn't want to work anymore like the current generation of people.
Well, I think it was B.
You are correct, Amanda! For all the people that do not recognize it, going into ministry prematurely does not help the situation. Just ask Moses. that was not a good result. So.
Oh, by the way, that's a good teaching today.
Thank you so very much, Deborah. That's so nice of you to say that. I really appreciate that. I really
All
do.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
You too. Bye bye. All right. Deborah did such a great job. I'm going to do jokes. I need to do this is so funny. This isn't funny. Let me tell you right now. This first one is so funny. You ought to take notes on this one.
Let me hear it, Dave.
All right. Here you go. On the way to preschool, the doctor let his daughter look at his stethoscope. The little daughter picked it up and began playing with it. This thrilled the father as he thought, perhaps one day she will follow in my footsteps and become a doctor. But when he heard her, she spoke into the instrument, "Welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order, please?" Now, how is that not a genius? That's a genius joke. Okay, one more.
Welcome to McDonald's.
A little girl asked her mother for 50 cents to give an old lady in the park. Her mother was touched by the child's kindness and gave her the required sum. "There you are," said the mother. "But tell me, isn't the lady able to work anymore?" "Oh, yes," the reply came. "But she sells candy for 50 cents.
Up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Who you calling stuffy-looking? Scruffy-looking. Okay. Anyway, those are those jokes.
Give me one out of the two.
Oh, that's okay. I'll let that go. That's probably true. All right. And then we'll slip in history real fast, and then we'll close it out. So slip in history real fast.
Let's go live.
Okay, I'm only doing one.
Oh, just one.
Yep. National Chop Suey Day. I just think that's fantastic.
Chop Suey.
just how fast was that? poor Dynamite D is like, well, he's never done that before. All right, here's the deal, okay? All right, tomorrow, by the way, the teaching, I think they're good. I mean, we're doing well. We're having fun, I think. San Diego's going really well. We really appreciate the people that are representing there. And by the way, everybody that is giving, we're not going to do the giving thing right now, but I really do appreciate you giving. We take that money seriously. We are very thankful for every penny. We are very, very thankful. Thankful that Don has gone out of his way to help us in these situations. Very, very, very much appreciated. And that's why you got to be praying for that the Lord will keep having that happen. All right. So here's the last thing that I want to say, because in this text that we were talking about, there's something that's really, really important. And that is this. And I'm going to address it kind of on top of the issue. And there is this process where you got saved. Now, I got saved. You got saved. Now, when I first got saved, you know, I was a little more rambunctious before the Lord started to kind of wind me down. Okay. But there is an issue that many of you have that I specifically want to address, and that is this. There is this worthlessness, worthiness issue that a lot of people kind of fight between. Okay. Now, you already know that in Jesus dying for you, you are not worthy of that grace that has been granted. But the Lord has pronounced you worthy by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. So what the enemy does is he then, once you have been counted worthy through the blood of Christ, the enemy comes in and says, well, you have, but since then you've messed up or this happened or you've grown up or you've done this. And what the enemy does is tries to make you think of yourself as worthless, more so now than when you first got saved. And that is not an uncommon tactic. It really has a lot to do with forgiving yourself more than anything else. You have to be aware that if God kept a record of your wrongs on every wrong you ever did, there would be no wiping clean of the list. But how it works in the olden days is when a person would have a debt, they would be presented with some kind of I don't want to say paper, but papyri, some kind of evidence, written evidence that communicates the debt. when the debt was cleaned or wiped off, they would. It's almost like we would do with a magic marker or with a paintbrush. You just like wipe it clean. Your debt was paid with a paintbrush of the blood of Jesus Christ. There is nothing on the paper left. That was given because God values you at the level of the blood of Jesus. God doesn't love you more, and God doesn't love you less, because God loves perfectly. And he loves you as much as the first moment, as right now, as he will forever. And for a brief moment, some of you loved yourself, allowed yourself to love yourself, because God told you he loved you. Don't run from that. God values you. When you think of yourself as worthless, you're telling God he's wrong about his estimation about you. I like you guys. I think you're terrific. I think you're wonderful, wonderful people. But don't ever tell God he's wrong about his valuations. One thing I know, and just because Deb's listening, they do, appraisals and valuations and houses and so on and so forth. God gave you an appraisal. Blood of Jesus Christ. There's no second appraisal needed. That is your worth. Don't let the enemy tell you something different, because that is your worth. The blood of Jesus Christ. And that's a lot. Yes? Okay. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same. So I punish myself.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.